Grave Tone.
Welcome to Grave Tone Podcast, where horror comes to life in every form it takes. I'm Megan.
And I'm Arthur.
And it's Canada Day today.
Canada Day.
Look at that. For the unaware, July 1st is Canada Day around here.
Yes.
I know it gets overshadowed by the 4th of July a lot, so I don't think people know.
That's fine.
Now you do. Aw. We were trying to, we were noodling what to talk about this week, and we figured, why not take the opportunity to talk about some Canadian horror films, which we do kind of bring up, like, semi-regularly regardless, but this is an opportunity that we don't always get because we're covering newer stuff and, you know, upcoming things and whatnot, so this gives us an opportunity to talk about some films that we really love, and sometimes when I start doing some research into things, I discover that Canada has so much more horror in it than I thought it did.
Oh yeah, so much.
And it's like, so exciting.
When we spoke to Ry Barrett, right, he said like he came from a Canadian horror scene, obviously, and it's like there's a lot of stuff going on.
I know. It's
everywhere.
Crazy. Yeah. So with that in mind, what we decided to do for this week was to, we've each put together a list of five Canadian horror films that we love. And we're just going to kind of count them down a little bit, talk about them, and, you know, compare notes and contrast and talk about movies that we love from
here. So are they Canadian horror films, or they're, like, made in Canada, or mostly Canadian? Like, where's the threshold?
So I think that everything that I've basically compiled in general is, like, a strictly Canadian film. There might be a couple in there that are co-productions, but their country of origin is indicated, like, as Canada, as in they were made by a Canadian production team, and they were filmed in Canada as well. And most of the time, that also means that they feature a largely Canadian cast as well.
Okay.
And crew.
Cool.
Obviously. So.
That works.
Woo. Love okay. It. All right. So we can go one by one.
Yeah. We'll go one by one. Before we start all of that, I know we mentioned it a couple of times. So there is the whole thing of Spotify being ad-free, just by the way, haha.
Yes.
So if you're listening to it on any other platform,
Apologies, there are ads.
Yeah. That's just how it works. Yeah. But on Spotify, we decided to make it ad-free. No real preference to the platform specifically. It's just, you know, Spotify is very accessible for everyone.
Correct. Yeah, a lot of people utilize it. Yeah. So
that's it. So, you know,
keep that in mind.
Keep that in mind and give us a review there.
Yeah.
If you're switching over or if you are already listening on it.
Yes. Thank you very much. Please feel free to rate and review if you've been listening to some episodes.
We helps are a lot.
Extremely grateful. And Gary, our ghoul, is digging a grave in your honor. So thank you very, very much.
We're going to need to,
that.
Like, make him into a character.
Yes.
Like, we're going to need to contact someone to have them,
like,
draw,
like,
this,
like,
person.
Yeah, the, like, actually create a character for us.
Yeah,
because neither of us are very artistically inclined.
No.
So.
No, not at all.
No. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think we should get someone to make a little Gary
for us.
That's a great idea.
Okay.
Put it on the list.
The list that never ends of things.
Okay, do you want to start?
Yes.
Do you want to start?
Start.
First movie.
What are we starting? Okay, wait a minute.
Well.
What? My first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first of all, we kind of, like, made a list of a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
You made the list of a bunch of movies.
Yep.
I helped add things into it.
No, you didn't.
And excuse me.
Don't make me look bad in front of the pod list.
First of all, yes. Second of all, there's movies in there that I obviously would have added. And because you know me so well, you just added it in there. That's just how it works.
Sure, we'll go with that.
I'm right. And there's a bunch of movies that were there, and I could not really choose only five in there. It's very hard. We might have to do a part two of this.
Maybe.
But the movies that I chose are very much the ones that I absolutely fucking love.
Yeah.
And I would 100% recommend it to everyone to watch. So my first one, and this is, like, in really no particular order.
Yeah.
My first one is Slacks with two X
with two
at
X's.
The end. S-L-A-X-X. It's a fucking hilarious movie.
We've seen
it at Fantasia, what, a few years ago at this point,
I think? Oh, God, it would have been longer than that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. A few years ago.
Yeah, this film was from, what, 2020, if I'm not mistaken, Slacks? I think that was it. So,
I thought you had all the research on you.
Okay, I don't have all of your movies open on my list. Thank you very much. Yes, it was released in 2020.
Okay, so it's been a few years.
Yeah. It was released in 2020. It's a horror comedy written, I believe, co-written and directed by Elsa Kephart, who, I'm not sure if this was her feature debut or not, mm-hmm. but this was released in August of 2020 at Fantasia Festival, because it's a Montreal film also, and then had a slightly wider release on VOD, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know that it got an actual theatrical release, but Shudder had acquired the streaming rights in 2021, and that's where it's been.
Good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yes. It's such a great movie. It is absolutely hilarious. Now, if I remember correctly, I know you have the info in front of you, mm-hmm. since it's my pick. It is basically a movie about killer genes.
I mean, at base level, yes.
At base level, yes. Well, I'm getting there.
Okay.
It's a movie about killer genes. So there is this, you know, store that I guess kind of is very much like, what, American Eagle or something like
it
that?
It gave very much like American Apparel.
That's it, yes. Thank you. American Apparel.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah. So they get like these crazy new pants that are the new trend in the fashion mm-hmm. nowadays, because they fit everyone regardless of, you know, your size or gender, whatever it is. It just fits everyone really perfectly. And everyone's going crazy with it. And it follows this group of employees in a store that get the shipment and they're getting the store ready for opening hours. And then these pants start killing people.
Yes.
When they try them on, they eat off their legs or cut them in two, because, you know, the pants are...
Oh, and then the pants after that become fully sentient and are just like walking around.
Yeah, they're walking around. It is fucking... It's really funny. It's really well done.
Yes.
The kills are great.
Agreed.
And there's also like a whole message at the end.
Yeah, I don't think...
Because you kind of understand where the sentience of the pants came from.
Yeah.
And it's a whole, I guess, kind of like a reflective on, I don't know what it is. It's not slave labor,
on
but
labor
just kind
laws,
of like labor laws.
Fast
and,
fashion, like the sort of, that's it, like labor laws in different countries around the world and how people are mistreated and like basically like the sweatshops that sort of exist to cater to these like trendy fashion brands and things like that, that people then wear and throw out. And it doesn't mean anything, but these people have given their blood, sweat, and tears for little to no money for it.
Yeah. It's a very strong message that it has at the end, and it is also a great, great movie.
Yeah,
I absolutely loved it.
It's also fun. It's got
super
fun. Good performances in it and everything as well. It's just like a really enjoyable time. We had a really good time with it, and it was, I gotta rewatch it. It's been a while since we've seen
it.
Right? I think we only watched it the one original time.
All those
really
movies that I have
it.
on my list, I'm like, okay, we're just gonna have to rewatch all
I know,
of them
it's
now.
Crazy. You're just kind of like, we look back and we're like, oh yeah, God, I gotta rewatch that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. My first pick, I don't think is going to be a surprise, because I feel like I've brought it up at least once before. And when we did our collab episode with Horror Roulette, Nellie and Anthony over there let us kind of bring them a Canadian horror wheel.
Yeah.
And so a couple of the picks that I have are picks that were on that wheel. Not what we watched. We watched In a Violent Nature and talked about that. So you guys should go listen to that episode, because it was a lot of fun and it was very silly. And it afforded us the opportunity to talk about trees in a way that I've never talked about them before, but here we are. Things are weird. So my first pick is Red Rooms, or Les Chambres Rouges, which is a 2023 film that is a horror slash very dark thriller, I suppose, to an extent. Like, it's kind of partially a psychological thriller, partially a horror film, and very much leans into like the crime drama side of things. At base level, it follows a woman who is actually a model who is living in Montreal and is hyper-focused on a particular case that is currently within the court system, that is the prosecution of this man who is a murderer and mm-hmm. has allegedly kidnapped and tortured and murdered multiple young women and is on trial for them. But part of what the prosecution requires essentially in order to complete the conviction is video evidence, because unfortunately this man was like a monster and he videotaped a lot of what was doing. And what they require is a particular missing tape from one of the murders in order to be able to prosecute him for that specific crime. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to kind of describe to an extent exactly what the film, I guess, is talking about, because I don't want to give too much away, but a lot of it has to do with, one, like, it does spin a lens on that like hyper fixation that a lot of people have with like the true crime sort of cases things.
Interesting. How, I didn't see it that way. Yeah, okay, how there's
like a big spotlight put on that. It delves very deep into like the dark web and like the weird fucking shit that people will pay a ton of money to have access to and things like that online. I don't want to talk
about that. That there's some fucked up shit out there.
It's very, very disturbing. But it has a really strong message. It's very tense, mm-hmm. even though there is not any violence on screen particularly that occurs.
They show some parts of the tapes.
Not much,
though. Not much. No, I know, but still.
A lot of things are more auditory, so mm-hmm. you hear what's happening, but you do not see it, and it's just as effective.
Yeah, very true.
And it has a really, really strong lead performance as well by the lead actress. Her name is Juliette Garipi. It's just, I've thought about it probably a million times mm-hmm. since we watched mm-hmm. it. It's an excellent film, genuinely.
I agree. It's very, very good, and there's like, not sci-fi stuff, but anyways, you know, there's like hacking and undercover stuff going on and other shit happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's very, very, very interesting. Yeah. Definitely should check it out.
There's a lot. There's just a lot to it.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your next one?
Well, speaking of auditory stuff, mm-hmm. it is a more recent movie that we both loved and that absolutely freaked me out when we were watching it. Okay. Just because, you know, we were watching it in the movie theater mm-hmm. and part of that movie had some parts where it's just pitch black and just in the scene and hear things. It is Undertone.
Oh, okay.
Which is, first of all, if you haven't seen it, you should definitely go watch it. I think it was pretty big.
I think the majority of folks who are listening have probably seen it by now. Yeah,
so I guess you've seen it by now. But anyways, it is essentially a movie about a horror podcast that are recording with two people mm-hmm. about just weird things that they find on the internet and just kind of like weird occurrences. They try to record about it and talk about it.
Yeah.
While just weird shit and basically hauntings mm-hmm. starts to happen to the main character, who's the one who's on screen all the time, right? And because it is more of an auditory movie and it has to do something with, you know, the whole podcasting and everything, because it's just the audio files that they find that are cursed, essentially, it is very audio-based.
Oh, God, yeah.
And everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yes, there is some crazy scenes, whatever it is, but a lot of it is very auditorily based. Oh, that's not a word.
No.
It's very much audio based for your ears mm-hmm. to hear, especially if you're watching it like on a big screen or even at home. Right. Seriously, turn off the lights and watch the movie.
Yeah.
Because holy shit.
Yeah.
There's some scenes towards the end that were fucked up.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. There's a lot of strengths about it. I know when we did our review, I'm still a little bit on the fence about it. I'd mm-hmm. almost want to kind of rewatch it and then reevaluate how I feel to an extent. But this, you know what, I think I might enjoy it more on a second watch, because I think that this film might have suffered from a little bit of that overhype train that happens a little bit from time to time, that when I see something, I can agree that it's good, but not necessarily like groundbreaking and, you know, mind-boggling.
No, I'm not saying it was something revolutionary. There
were a lot of folks acting as though it was, and I think that might have ruined the experience for me ever so slightly.
Oh, okay, so, I see. Fair enough. We could rewatch it and check it out again.
Yeah.
I think it has a lot of lore. The I think the director's, this was his first time feature or something like that, big, which is really awesome, and he did a great job. And there's a lot of kind of like history that comes with that. That's my number two.
Nice. My next one is kind of a classic to a degree. I feel like a lot of the ones that are on the list right now, this round that we're doing, I feel like we should do a round right now because we're doing some slightly newer ones. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then we should do another round of like classics, like the older canon of things, because there are quite a few things. I mean, if anybody is a Cronenberg fan, obviously, you know, there's quite a few older ones.
There's a bunch. We are going to name a few of them at the end.
Yeah.
As kind of like, you know, obviously obvious mentions and honorable mentions, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, we're trying to stick to things that are not obvious, you know,
yes and no, that's it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So my next one is, again, no surprise, because it's just like a film that I love and I have not had the opportunity to rewatch in ages and I need to get back to it. It's Ginger Snaps from 2000.
Yeah.
This is one of my...
I haven't seen that in a long time.
I know. Yeah. I haven't... I've rewatched this first original film a few times. I have never rewatched either of the sequels. There are two. The second one, I genuinely cannot remember for the life of me what it's about. And yeah. I remember that the third one is a period piece that I think follows ancestors of the sisters.
Were they good?
In the way, way back times. I remember enjoying them. Okay. But it's also been like upwards of 15 years since I've watched them. I'd have to give it a try again and see how I feel about them.
That'd be cool.
But this original first film is definitely the strongest, of course. And it's just one of those like quintessential werewolf films.
Right.
It follows two sisters named Ginger, obviously, and Bridget. Ginger is bitten by a werewolf, and then come the next full moon, she basically begins to transform, and Bridget has to help her navigate that while also try to stop her from basically turning into a feral monster and killing a whole bunch of people, including herself, obviously,
wow,
in the interim. There's a lot within it to do with like the relationship between the sisters is so good, it's so strong. There's something about a werewolf story within like a coming of age spectrum that I think works beautifully, because there's a lot within the early parts of the film to do with the girls never wanting to get older and not wanting to get their period and stuff like that. That's a whole thing. Ginger having her period is half the reason she gets bitten in the first place, because the werewolf can smell the blood. Like there's a whole bunch of stuff in it that's happening. And there's just
interesting
like
to look at it through that perspective.
Yeah, there's a lot of commentary about like young women and puberty and like how that changes things for you and like how you change as a person and become a different type of person sort of the older that you get and the more you head into like being a full teenager, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's such a great movie. It's got like a really great early 2000s kind of vibe to it, which I love as well. Okay. And Catherine Isabel and Emily Perkins are like iconic horror actors in Canada at this point, so I will forever love them.
I mean, I feel like you see or you show anyone a still or a screenshot of the movie and people would know what it is.
100%.
You
know what I mean? Yeah, so. I feel like it would be hard not to.
Yeah, that's it. My third one, very different from yours, but I was very glad to find out when you've done some research on it that it is a Canadian movie. Because when we saw it at Fantasia, and I feel like that happens all the time because we're just discovering a bunch of movies.
With Red Rooms. Red Rooms was the opening film at Fantasia in 2023.
That's it. There you go.
We didn't see it that year, which is crazy, but yeah.
Yo, sometimes we miss out the craziest things at this festival, and we're like, how the fuck did we not... Like, we go through every program. We read every single movie that's there. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, there's so much to keep up with.
Fuck.
Also, we have exciting things upcoming with Fantasia with them.
I know, it's
so
great.
So pumped about.
So, this one is called Come True.
Mm-hmm.
It is from 2020 as well.
Yeah.
And then it was released in March 12th, 2021 in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Absolutely fucking awesome movie. I was so glad that it actually came on VOD, because the moment it came out on VOD, I bought it right away.
Yeah.
Like, I need to have a copy of this movie.
I remember that.
It's so good. And then it also did like a few apparently very limited theatrical release.
Yeah.
On it as well. So this movie essentially follows the a teenager who runs away. And who takes part in a sleep study that becomes a nightmarish descent into the depths of her mind and the frightening examination of the power of dreams.
It is very, very, yeah, it is very kind of like psychologically bizarre. It's very nonlinear because of what it's examining. So there's a lot to it. I almost feel like I really enjoyed it when we watched it. I would probably need to watch it again to actually
grasp. I also want to watch it again because it's been a long time and I want to see if I'm going to enjoy it as much as I did the last time.
Yeah, that's it. And just to grasp every sort of aspect or every different concept that you witness throughout the course of the film, because I was, you know, I was like really kind of overall impressed with everything within it, but I was just there like, man, I feel like I missed half of what was going on in this movie because there's so much different stuff happening that I'm sure that there's a lot that I just didn't catch.
It's a little bit strange, a little bit sci-fi, but only because of the technology that exists. There's not like anything, you know, crazy that happens there, sci-fi related specifically. I fucking love that movie. I don't know, it had like an effect on me. I don't know, it made me feel in a certain way that I just keep remembering this movie forever. I gave it to a friend of mine. He also absolutely loved it.
You have recommended this to like 18 different people at this point. Like the number of times that you've been like, watch this movie, I'm like, wow.
It's a great movie. Yeah. I mean, look, it has 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.1 average rating on 10.
Okay,
You know, it has like, let me tell you right now, 5.9 IMDb. 84% on Rotten Tomatoes, so this is actually real updated scores. 3.5 on Letterboxd. Like, it's good, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Anyways, I absolutely liked it.
I mean, it's, I'm not. I feel like you're trying to convince me. I don't need you to argue with me about it. I know
it was. I liked it, Megan. God damn it! Why don't you believe me? I liked it.
I know. Dear God, do I ever?
And also, IFC did it, so they do good shit.
They do have really interesting
goddamn
stuff. I love that. Yeah.
The Leviticus.
Was that IFC? Oh, like shit. Yeah, you're right. I think it was as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. IFC, and then what did we see right at the beginning of this year? The Plague. I'm going to be talking about that for the rest of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime I can bring it up, I'm going to.
The Plague is great.
So good.
Also, the Place of Ghosts.
Oh, at the Place of Ghosts as well. That's true. Jeez. All these excellent movies that we've seen this year so far. Ugh. Anyway, good job, guys. Not that I need to tell you that. Okay, my next one is a release from last year, actually, which again had a Fantasia premiere. This is so funny.
We're just hyping Fantasia right
we
now.
We are. I mean, it's upcoming in a couple of weeks, guys. It starts on the 16th of July. So listen.
Shit. Okay, sorry to interrupt. Leviticus was not IFC. We just really like IFC, I guess. I think it was Neon. I just checked.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. Never mind.
I knew that.
Disregard. Right. Please continue.
Doesn't matter. My next one, that's it. Like I said, 2025 Fantasia premiere is what it had last year. And then it got like a VOD release, is my understanding. This is probably the weirdest one on my list because it's really strange. That. It's Buffet Infinity.
Oh, man. So first of all, we watched it kind of recently.
More recently,
I don't know how we haven't seen it before. It's so insane.
Yeah.
Like, okay, can you even try to explain the premise of this movie?
Yes. Okay. So essentially, by the way, it's just, this is like hyper, hyper, hyper Canadian, but this, my understanding is that it's basically a satire kind of mockumentary style thing. It is based on SCTV, which is like a really famous sketch comedy series from Canada specifically. Okay. That has run on and off for ages, and pretty much every iconic Canadian comedian has participated in it in some capacity, in some way, shape, or form. It is basically a film that is told entirely through commercials.
Yes.
That like they're like,
which sounds like it doesn't work, but it does.
No, it does. You can still follow the story. It's told entirely through fake TV commercials that center on this like fictional, very small sort of like strip mall in a particular area in Alberta, because that's also where it was filmed and everything, where there are two restaurants that are competing with one another. One of them is a sandwich shop that's been there for ages, and the other one is this new brand new shiny Buffet Infinity that has opened in the area as well.
I don't know if it's a franchise or something, but it's very kind of like new shiny whatever you want to call it, you know.
And essentially these two,
they have insane prices. It's like eat all day for $7. What?
Yeah. And essentially the two restaurants begin to compete with one another via their commercials to fight for like the ultimate dominant spot, essentially.
But there's also other commercials, because there's like a side story that's happening.
Well, because there are other businesses in that area and things like that, that slowly, everything slowly starts being taken over by Buffet Infinity.
Yeah. And there's also like a newscast that slowly leaks in as well to kind of try to understand.
Well, that's, yeah. And there are sci-fi elements and things that come into it as well. I won't get into it because it's, just watch it.
It's insane.
Just watch it.
It's a crazy story. It is well done.
Yeah.
It is weird to get into at the beginning, I guess, but once you kind of like understand the flow of things, you start to see what the story is. It's something else.
Yeah, it's nuts.
It's nuts.
Genuinely.
Yeah. All right. Oh, man, now I want to rewatch it again.
We will.
Right. Okay. So my fourth one, it is a kind of a throwback here. I feel like a lot of people would probably say that this movie is a precursor or something that sparked Saw.
Oh, is that true? I don't even know. Like, were they inspired by it?
I don't know, man, but I would not be surprised.
Maybe.
No, was it? Is it Saw? Yes.
James Wan, come on the podcast.
Anyways, I mean, if not, it totally would probably make sense to do it. Was it? I think so. Anyways, doesn't matter. The movie is Cube.
Yes.
Okay, it is from 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a sci-fi horror film.
Yes.
Directed and co-written by Vincenzo Natale.
Well done, sir.
Yeah. It's an absolutely insane movie because essentially what happens in this movie, this is kind of like a little bit hard to explain. It is a deadly labyrinth that stars seven individuals who get trapped in this kind of like very bizarre labyrinth. All the rooms are cubes.
Yeah.
And you have to essentially escape from each of the rooms. And if you don't do it fast enough, or if you trigger something, whatever it is, it is essentially a death trap. Mm-hmm. And every room, something different happens. It's absolutely insane. Like, some of them just get set on fire. Some of them, the walls collapse on each other. There's like knives that start flying out, lasers, you name it. Like, it has literally everything.
I feel like this is one that actually has more of a cult following than we think it does. Yeah. Because I've spoken to a number of people who have been like, oh, I love that movie. And I'm like, oh, okay. So people know what this is. It's not like it exists on the sidelines.
It's crazy. Yeah. They made this movie for $350K.
Nice.
It box officed at $9 million.
Wow, that's really good.
That is really good. Yeah, it premiered at TIFF in 1997.
Nice.
And then that's it. Then it was released in Canada, and then next year, very soon, in the United States, basically a year later. There's even a Japanese remake.
Oh, interesting.
Which I did not know, but I want to watch it because they always kind of like amp up the craziness of the movie. You know, I would definitely check it out. Apparently, there was even a 4K restoration
of
this movie that debuted again at Fantasia Film Festival in 2024.
That's so funny.
God damn it. Just free marketing at this point. My God.
Yeah, you're welcome, guys. Anyway.
Oh, man.
Okay. My next one is another one that I actually, to follow up yours, I think does have a decent cult following from people who maybe it didn't get maybe too much hype when it was originally released, but I think it has built quite the following for being a really original concept since its initial release.
Okay, I like that.
It's Pontypool.
Yeah.
This is...
Oh, that's so good.
A technically kind of a zombie film.
It is. Yes, it still counts.
Yeah, in a really non-traditional sort of way. It is based on a 1995 novel called Pontypool Changes Everything, just in case you didn't know.
It's not a novel. That's cool. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
It premiered...
Must have been very interesting to write that.
Yeah.
Or even read that.
Written
by
an author named Tony Burgess.
All right.
It had its premiere in 2008 at TIFF and then was released, I think, subsequently the following year, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if it had a theatrical run, but that's what it did. At base level, it is basically follows a radio DJ in a small northern Ontario town in the middle of the winter who is doing an overnight shift at the radio station with his producer. And
who's the actor of it? He looks really cool.
Oh, Stephen McCaddy.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, if you want to know if a film was either made here or is mostly a Canadian production, if Stephen McCaddy's in it, I can tell you that it's a Canadian film. I'm just saying, the man's been around forever. If you guys haven't seen things like Come to Daddy and other stuff, he's in that. Mm-hmm. He's great. So anyway, he's in a ton of shit. He's been doing stuff for ages. So this film essentially follows his character on his like overnight shift with his producer, his production assistant, whatever. And they begin to tap into really odd radio broadcasts that are occurring in which people hear trigger words essentially that seems to trigger an almost sort of zombie like psychosis that takes over them.
They keep repeating themselves and everything.
And it's the repeating and the hearing of the words that originally sound like what the actual word is, but then they twist them or they almost say them backwards or they say the words wrong. That seems to be what the trigger is that then begins to turn people.
It's very unnerving to hear.
It's so weird. Creepy. It's almost impossible to describe. It's strange because it makes perfect sense when you are watching it. But when you try to explain it to other people, you're like, I don't know how to tell you that, like, it's words, but it's not the right words. And people get confused by them. And then the confusion is what causes, like, the almost like the craze to take over. It's so bizarre.
Yeah. It's strange.
Yes, exactly. And it seems to be tied to basically some sort of, like, military experiment to a degree or something that's gone wrong. And there's a lot of, again, this won't make sense to people who aren't Canadian necessarily, but there's a lot of commentary within it to do with like the French English thing, sort of French Canadian versus like the rest of
Canada. Oh, yeah, it's true.
Because there's a lot
it's coming
of
back to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of infighting sort of that's happening via different broadcasts and stuff between the French military and the English military in Canada.
Yeah,
very interesting. Anyway, it means more to us because we actually kind of understand some of the
lore. I don't
think
there's French and English military. There's just military.
There's not, but the French speaking and English speaking
military, I should say.
Quebec and Ontario military is really what we're looking at, and it's the whole like Quebec Ontario thing. If you don't know, it's not going to make any sense, but it makes
sense
to us.
No, it doesn't really make that much of a...
You don't need to know, necessarily.
Yeah, that's it. They make it pretty clear in the movies. So.
Yes. I just think that if you do, it's like an interesting additional layer to kind of examine a little bit. But it's got a lot of really interesting stuff in it. I wish that they would kind of continue. Apparently, there was supposed to be like a trilogy, and they've been in development for like over 10 years,
and
they've just never gone anywhere. Yeah, that's
it.
There was like a spin-off film apparently called Dreamland that was released in 2019.
Oh, wow.
But it doesn't seem to be like overly close necessarily. It's just some sort of weird spin-off of it that I guess ties in some capacity.
Does it follow a similar story or
zombies? It doesn't seem to at all as far as I can tell. So I'm not sure why it's called a spin-off. I'd have to watch it.
That's very strange.
Yeah.
Does it kind of like follow a similar... radio station or something?
No, not at all.
What the hell is the connecting point?
The connecting point seems to be Stephen McCaddy himself.
Okay.
Who's in a dual role as a musician and also a hitman? Yeah.
Sure.
I think.
That does not sound anything familiar.
I don't know. Anyway.
Close to the, okay.
No. Anyway.
All right.
That's it. That's fine.
Cool. Anyways, my last one, which is, again, impossible to choose, but here we are, also has a musical component to it, but it is super fun.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely hilarious and actually has an insane cast. Like, I'm going to name people and you're like, how did this production get this many superstars into this movie? Okay, so it is a movie from 2009 called Suck.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's right.
We have a special place in our heart because it's just so funny.
It's so good. It essentially follows this rock band, I guess, that is trying to do a tour across Canada and parts of the United States. And, you know, they're like, I wouldn't say they're too huge or anything. They're kind of like, you know, they play smaller venues.
They're very much like an indie band,
yeah. Yeah, that's it and everything. But they're, you know, they're trying to do the tour to get some followers and everything and, you know, get listeners essentially whatever it is
deal,
yeah so they're like they're not bad in general, but the thing that happens is that they meet a crazy person, someone who was on their tour somewhere, whatever it is, who essentially turns one of their members into a vampire, and she is trying to conceal it as much as she can, and then she turns other people and members into vampires, and it is just an absolutely hilarious story of how they are trying to survive that while doing a tour, while visiting places and trying to cover it up, but also not. But then they also need to find how did this happen and find the master and trying to do something with that. It's seriously, it is hard to describe. It is absolutely hilarious and funny.
Yeah, it is really difficult to kind of get into all the specifics of it. Also, it'll give away half the jokes.
I know, so that's like... it. So like, it's kind of, you can't really do that.
No.
But I mean, listen to this, okay? So... the people who are in this movie, apart from the main cast, there is Alice Cooper, Moby, Henry Rollins, Iggy Pop, there is,
well, Malcolm McDowell's in it,
he is there as well, there is Alex Lifeson, Malcolm McDowell, like you just said, Carol Pope, like there is an insane amount of talent in this movie.
Yeah, it's crazy.
From the music industry, and I don't know how they managed to do it, because I think like the budget wasn't that insane for this movie. Let me double check it. The budget was $3.5 million.
Wow, that's
like,
really interesting.
I know, right? Like Alice Cooper, what? I feel like they just did it for the fuck of it. You know what I mean?
I mean,
like,
I guess so. Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, granted, like, you know, they managed quite a bit of stuff. So like this film, that's it, came out in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the lead characters in the film is Jessica Paré.
Yes.
And she would literally a year later do her run on Mad Men, or start her run on Mad
Men.
Oh,
shit. Well, there you go.
As Megan. Yeah, as that character. So,
yeah.
I mean, listen... This was big for people, I think.
It's very strange because I'm looking at the ratings right now. Tomato meter is at 44%. Popcorn meter is at 53%. You are completely wrong. 1,000+ people. I'm sorry.
I love that you're like, fuck you. Bye.
Whatever. IMDb is at 6. Letterboxd is at 3. So this makes a little bit more sense
this
to me.
This is a really fun film.
It's so fun. General.
It's hilarious.
It has
it's
also so great silly. Music.
It does,
so
yeah.
Just like, it's even worth listening for the music. Yeah. Moby's absolutely hilarious in there.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. All of them are just like funny, like all the weird little, you're so confused every time there's like a new cameo from someone. And the lead cast is really good. It's Rob Stefaniak, I think, who plays like the lead character.
Yeah.
And the rest of the band, they're all really fun. They have a French-Canadian roadie who is so ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Who's like their Renfield,
yes,
basically.
Exactly.
Oh,
that's
my
it,
God.
That's it.
He has the funniest accent I've ever heard in my life. Anyway, it's absurd. The whole thing is crazy from start to finish, but it's really entertaining.
It's so fun.
It is.
It's really worth watching with like a group of people or something. It's great.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's a really fun like party movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Give me your last one. Make it a good one.
Yeah. So my last one is, I feel like, a slightly less well-known one, even though I do believe it's on Shudder, if I'm not mistaken.
There's so much on Shudder.
I know. That's the thing, right? Things get lost in the shuffle a little
bit.
Problem. Which we did also see, that's it, like a number of years ago, from what I recall. Mm-hmm. That's called Vicious Fun.
Okay.
I really liked this
Why
film.
Don't I remember this one?
I have no idea. Because you have a terrible memory. I don't know.
I guess.
So, this is a 2020 film. Also, it's set in the 80s. It follows a younger guy who's a journalist. He is like a reviewer of like horror films and things.
All right.
And he, after getting like a tip from a director, I believe, that he's interviewing, he goes to this meetup between people that I believe that he thinks is going to be to do with like horror films, or he can use it as like a thing to like study, and it's like some sort of fake whatever like character study or case study that he can use for his writing that he's doing. However, he kind of realizes after he's not been in the meeting for very long that this is basically a support group for serial killers.
For real serial killers. Yes. Okay.
And they're all kind of like comparing notes and stuff, and he comes to realize that this is all real and it's happening. And then once,
why does it sound familiar, but I can't remember this movie?
I don't know why. I can't help you with this. He basically has to try to fudge his way out, but when it becomes kind of clear, you know, obviously...
Was it at a hotel? The whole meeting thing? It happened
maybe,
at a hotel, no?
I don't remember.
Because you're jogging my memory with the whole
serial
killer.
You keep interrupting me, so I have no idea.
Oh my God, okay.
I don't know, do I?
Trying to interject some commentary.
I honestly
here.
Don't remember where it's set. It,
all right.
It very well might be. Apparently, no, it's a Chinese restaurant.
Okay, then I'm lost again. Okay,
okay.
Please keep
anyway.
Going.
anyway, as he tries to fight his way out, what winds up happening as well is that he meets a woman who's there who's pretending to be one of the serial killers, but it turns out that she's actually part of some elite group of assassins who murder serial killers.
And, what
And
the
so
hell?
The two of them have to, like, fight their way out of it. But it's just... It's really fun. Like, it's very high energy. It's pretty much fun from start to finish. And, like, the performances are great. I also had, like, a really fun moment when we were watching it because the woman who plays the assassin, I knew when I was in college very briefly. Because I don't think I've ever mentioned this on the podcast, but I studied theater.
Yes.
When I was in college. And when I was in my first year in the theater department, she was in her final year, her third year there. So when I saw her, I was like, oh, hey, I know her.
That's awesome. What the fuck?
I've done that a few times.
Yeah.
A few times when I've like watched things over the years, and every once in a while I'll point it out, and Arthur's like, what the hell? Why? Because Canadian productions, that's why.
Shit, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, seriously, I very, very vaguely remember this movie. We need to watch it.
I guess so.
Yes?
Yeah, I guess
we're
going to
watch it tonight.
We don't have time tonight, but
tonight
we're going to watch it soon.
Evil dies tonight.
But
Megan,
if you haven't heard of this one, it's just like, it's a fun horror comedy. It's just like an enjoyable time. Especially, don't take it seriously. You're not meant to, but I think that's great.
There's
anyway.
Like a lot of horror comedies that we mentioned on this one. Slacks.
We just
suck,
really like, I think we really like
one.
A good horror comedy.
Yeah.
I think that's our thing.
I guess so.
Maybe that's just something that we enjoy.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Do you have some honorable mentions? Because I know that list is ginormous, but like, oh, we can't spend 2 hours talking.
No, we can't. So yeah, you know what? I agree. I think at some point we're going to have to come back and do a part two, and the part two is going to have to be like the classics or something. So if I try to keep things a little bit more recent, I guess,
sure.
In terms of kind of feelings about it. There is a film from a couple of years ago called Cryptic that I loved.
Oh, yeah. This is not bad.
It's like a sci-fi. It's a little bit, it leans more sci-fi, I will say. There are some horror elements to it, but it follows a woman who goes, who's trying to come out of her shell a little bit and goes on like a walking trip in the woods with a whole group of people, but then accidentally stumbles upon some sort of weird alien life form. And I can't really describe what she does with it because it would be really weird and uncomfortable to talk about on the podcast. But essentially, things become strange and kind of erotic to a degree. And then from there, she sort of regains her own autonomy and things like in her relationship and stuff. There is a lot of like really interesting commentary about relationships in the film, which I don't think either of us were expecting when we went into it. But I really liked it way more than I thought I would.
Yeah,
I loved it.
It was pretty great.
Yeah, that one was really cool. I mean, obviously I don't have to say like in a violent nature because we know that.
Yeah.
And Suck obviously would have been on my list too. Gosh, rapid fire, anything else that's like a little bit newer would be probably something like Ravenous, which is also titled Les FME because I know people get that confused. There's like a 1999 film from like Australia or something.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not
with
that
Guy
one.
Pearce. It's not that. It's also a horror film, but it's a completely different type of thing. This is a zombie film from,
yeah.
I think it was 2017, 2018.
I remember we've seen it, yeah,
something
it
like
very,
that.
Very good.
It's a French Canadian film that again explores the zombie subgenre in a really interesting way because of what the zombies do, like what people do once they're infected and how they kind of deal with it and what the characters are going through.
Definitely. Yeah, it's check it out. It's very well done.
It's a really interesting one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any?
Yeah, so I mean, look, I want to mention two just because I again absolutely love these movies. The first one is Possessor.
Yeah.
Which was absolutely insane. I think I need to rewatch it again to properly describe what it was about.
Yeah.
But if I give you from what I remember, it is kind of like one of those movies that...
Well, it's it's like...
It's a futuristic thing where assassins take control of other people's bodies and then execute high-profile targets.
Yes,
and
because
essentially,
they can get away that way with never being spotted and never
being identified. Yeah, and then, of course, because that's how it sounds, things go wrong. Essentially, you know, it is, you really kind of need to check it out. It's a very interesting horror, sci-fi, psychological horror written and directed by Brandon Cronenberg. So
it's
very good
point,
like Rotten Tomatoes has it at 94%. It's very, very good.
Oh, it's a really good film.
I know,
genuinely.
Yeah. And the other one is because it has affected me as a young child, and we spoke about this we spoke about it in our childhood trauma series. Yeah, I think it was literally
episode.
The first one. It's called Screamers.
Yes.
From 1995. Yeah, that's it, 1995. Again, a little bit of a, not a little bit, this one's like fully sci-fi horror.
No, it's
horror.
Very sci-fi, yeah.
It's strange. When we rewatched it, I think it still freaked me out a little bit.
It did, because you were thinking of certain things that scared you as a child.
Yeah.
I think we talked about it a little bit.
We did,
episode.
Yeah. Anyways, listen to that episode.
Yeah.
It's a wild movie. Very political now that we've rewatched it again.
Kind of, yeah.
But if you take away all that, because it kind of really didn't need to be in there, it's a very interesting movie.
It was an experience to watch.
It was an experience. There you go. When Megan says it's an experience, that means it was fucking weird.
It was weird. But anyway, it's fine. Whatever. Listen, I think we had a great time with it when we watched it for our childhood trauma kickoff. So it's all good. Yeah, so this is just... God, a smattering, honestly.
A snippet.
Because the
crumb.
Yeah. The further I go into this, the more I'm just flabbergasted with
right?
how many films this country has produced that are horror specific. It's crazy. And we get more of them every year. So it's just insane to kind of see like how all of that plays out.
I know.
I love it.
It's great.
Keep it coming, everyone.
Keep it going.
Keep going, Canada. We love you. There's already more on its way this year, like with In a Violent Nature 2 being released and things. And I'm sure we're going to get a ton of other stuff before the end of the year. So it's going to be awesome. All right. Well, if you want to keep up with everything we have going on, feel free to check out our socials. We're at Gravetone Pod. You can also check out the website at gravetonepod.com. We have our horror movie picker quiz there. It's 4 questions. You run through the questions and it will give you 3 suggestions of what to watch tonight if you cannot make up your mind.
Yeah, that are hand curated by us.
Yes, so. They're all films that we actually did enjoy and we're not just putting them on there or picking them out of like random lists or auto-generating them or anything like that. So you'll get that there too. And yeah, this month is going to be insane. We're going to have a lot going on because Fantasia's upcoming.
Yeah.
So, yay. We're going to be doing a lot of coverage.
Megan has a big smile on her face.
I'm just so can't excited. See it. Guys, we got media accreditation for Fantasia.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Humped.
I'm so excited. This is awesome. And I never would have expected it. So I'm really, really excited that we get to do this. This year it's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll have a couple more episodes before that upcoming, and then we're going to have a ton of coverage for you guys within the next month or so. But until then, stay scared and stay tuned.
Ciao, guys.